All over this house, why don't we lift our hands on the Lord? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
For the power of your presence in this place. You're here. His healing is here. Deliverance is here. Help is here. Strength is here. Peace of mind is here. God, you're here in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How wonderful. How glorious you are. It's always proper to follow the leading of the Spirit. His altars are always open. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, God. That your kingdom would come, God, to touch the heart and the life, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How we love you, how we worship you, how we praise you, God. Wonderful you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. I magnify you, Jesus. Sweetness of your presence. Hallelujah, Jesus. Wonderful. Wonderful. In the house. Healer is in the house. Strength, deliverance. You restore my soul, God. You restore my soul, God. If you're here in need of restoration, you need to know that He's here to restore. He's here to strengthen. Maybe you feel a little down in spirit. Maybe you feel like you're running on empty. You need to know He's here to fill you, to thrill you, to restore your soul. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glorious. I thank you, Jesus. Why don't we put our hands together and thank the Lord for His goodness. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Ha ha. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to take a few needs of the Lord in prayer. As you continue to remember the Kellum family, those of you that were here on Wednesday night know that John Kellum, brother Wayne Kellum, and uncle to the Bill Kellum passed away. And so we want to remember them in prayer. They have traveled to Missouri to be there. I believe the viewing is today and the funeral tomorrow, so we want to pray God's hand of comfort and help upon the Kellum family, the loss of the loved one. Also, please remember Sister Ellie Campbell. She has fallen and hurt herself, and she's in a lot of pain, and she just needs the church body to lift her up and pray on her behalf. And I believe that God can work and intervene in that situation. You believe that? If you have a need this morning, why don't you just slip up your hand? The Lord knows. We're going to go to Him in prayer, asking Him to work and to move. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the power of your presence. It is in this place, God. How wonderful you are. How great it is to be here, God, to lift you up and magnify your name that is above every name. God, we call out unto you on behalf of the Kellum family, Lord, to be a comfort, God. Lord, the sense of loss that they feel as a family and a loved one that has gone on, Lord. And I pray that you would be a comfort and a help and a strength. God, peace in the situation, God. Keep your hand upon them as they travel, Lord, and as they talk, and Lord, and as they minister to other people, God, who are hurting, Lord. I pray that you would use the Kellum family in a mighty way in the midst of this tragedy. Oh, Mrs. Daly, God, we lift her up before you, believing and trusting in your power to heal, to restore, to help, to strengthen. For other needs represented in this house, you're able, God. Let us be channels, let us be vessels of your choosing, God, to minister the hearts and lives and needs of others. Power of your precious name. Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Today is the first Sunday of the month, and as we often do, we want to take time to acknowledge those that are keeping up with their Bible reading. If you have been keeping up with your Bible reading, would you please stand so we can acknowledge you and give you a small token of appreciation? I guess, all right. And I'll even come and hand them out personally. Why don't we give a hand clap to those that are keeping up with their Bible? Bread program. Bible reading enriches any day. Whether you're sitting down and reading the Bible, whether you're listening to it on an app, or whether you've got CD and the CD player, whatever way that you can interact with the Word of God is good. It will enrich you. It will help you. And I believe one of the great things that we have failed in doing as a church and a body of believers is really loving the Word of God like we should. Spending the time that we should and reading the Word of God. There's a lot of questions that will be answered. A lot of decisions that can be determined between reading your Bible and praying. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Well, how are they ordered of the Lord? I tell you, they're... Bible says, order my steps in your word. That's just a little plug for reading your Bible, and I appreciate those that are taking the time to do that. You know how much it is enriching and blessing your soul. To remind you, this coming Wednesday night, a special midweek service. My family will be here in town, and my cousin who pastors in Titusville, Florida, will be ministering in our midweek service. We are looking forward to that. I will say this in regards to tonight's service. As at this point, I know they're talking about there being some pretty severe weather in the area. I don't know. We will monitor that. At this point in time, we are planning to have service tonight. If it gets really bad and I call the trustees and we decide that for the safety of everyone, we may need to cancel, well, then we will let you know. We will get the word out. But at this point in time, we are planning to have service tonight, and I know that they are calling for some severe thunderstorms, and we will monitor that situation and let you know whether we think it is necessary to cancel service for tonight. If you have your Bibles, and you would be so kind, stand with me and turn in them to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 24, begin reading in verse number 1. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. In other words, Jesus went out of the temple, and disciples stop him and want him to take a look. Look at the temple, Jesus. Look at all this beautiful edifice. Jesus said to them, see not all these things? You look at them, you mesmerized by this temple and all that it has. See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Jesus, and he sat, and as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Say that the temple's going to be destroyed, that not one stone will be left upon another. When will these things be, and what will be the sign of thy coming in the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places, and all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. I want you to pay particular attention to verse number 12. As Jesus makes the statement, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. They were seeking a sign. They were wanting to know, when are these things going to happen, Jesus? When is this destruction of the temple going to take place? When are these, the end of the world? When is that going to happen? Jesus gives them a list of things that are going to go on. But in verse number 12, he makes a statement that I want to focus upon and draw title from this morning. Jesus says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold or decrease, diminish. I want to preach to you upon this subject, the correlation between iniquity and love. Correlation between iniquity and love. Can we pray, dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. God, we thank you that we have opportunity to be here in your house. Lord, I pray that you would now open the hearts and minds of every person in this place to receive your word, God. Not because it is I that speak it, Lord, because it is your word. Is it inspired of you, Lord? And now I ask that you would use me as but a vessel to preach unto your people, God, to impart unto them what you have imparted unto me, God, that we would leave here with greater understanding of your word and the times that we live, God, and understand that we must now, more than ever before, make sure that we are falling more and more in love with you. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it and believe it to be done. And everybody said, amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The correlation between iniquity and love. A simple definition of the word correlation would be something like this. It is a mutual relationship or connection between two or more things. In other words, when this, then that. A simple example might be that when there is a temperature decrease, there is an increase in coffee sales. I tell people there's a correlation between winter and the amount of coffee that I partake of, because when the weather, although I like coffee, when the weather gets cold, I tend to drink more coffee. Another correlation that we might be accustomed to is when the weather decreases or the weather becomes inclement, if you will, then it usually our commute to work or the job site increases. There are correlations that we recognize, and whether or not we understand that's what they are, we see, experience, and participate in many correlations in life. Big business and corporations will spend vast amounts of money studying correlations, trying to understand if this, then that, in order to minimize their risk and make predictions for success. They want to be successful. They want to be productive in business, and so they will find what correlates. And if the morale is up, and how do they get morale up? Well, then they must do this. And then if morale increases, then productivity increases. And so they do these studies and they do this research to find the correlation, how these things interact, how these things happen. Our text has the disciples asking Jesus for an answer concerning the end of the world. The Bible says they have come to him privately. He's at the Mount of Olives, a place that he resorted to oft times in his ministry. And the disciples have come to Jesus and they've asked him, Lord, when are these things going to happen? When is the end of the world? When is your coming going to take place? We want to be ready. We want to be aware. We want to know when it's going to happen. When shall these things be?
Jesus, what's going to be the sign of thy coming? When are these things going to happen? What events will correlate with your coming? How will we know the end is near? Jesus gives a list of things that will correlate with his coming, the end of the world. He says, many false Christs and false prophets will come, and they will deceive many. You shall hear of wars, and there will be rumors of wars, that nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes and divers quakes and places rather. And he said, you're going to be delivered up to be afflicted, killed, and hated of all nations. Many shall be offended, betrayed, and hated. And then Jesus makes this statement in verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Fellas, there's a correlation that you need to pay attention to, because when this happens, well, then this happens. When this begins to take place, when iniquity increases, love decreases. When wickedness and lawlessness and unrighteousness begin to abound, well, then you will find that love and a love for the truth and a love for righteousness and a love for the things that are right, well, then it's going to decrease. Find if we look in the Word of God, we find an example, and I've often looked at this verse of Scripture and wondered just what it meant and why it was said when it was said. Because if you go to Genesis chapter 15, Abraham is given a vision from the Lord, and Abraham is being told, and a prophecy comes forth concerning Abraham and his life and what's going to happen with his generations and the seed that shall come as a result of God's promise. And God tells Abraham these things are going to happen. The people are going to be delivered up into captivity, and they're going to be there for 400 years. They're going to be afflicted, but I will judge that nation and I will bring them out. He makes this statement in verse number 16 of chapter 15. The Lord speaking unto Abraham says, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again. You're in Canaan's land. You're in the land that I've promised to your seed. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. It's a land that the people will come to. It's a land that I will give them in that day. And they shall come hither again. And then he says this, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet. Often looked at that verse of Scripture and wondered just, well, what was meant by that? What did the Lord mean by the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full? And I began to do a word study, and I found out that what he's saying is the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. It hasn't been fulfilled yet. It's increasing even now, Abraham. The idolatry is getting worse. The immorality is getting worse. They're going away from what is right and what is true is happening. You've experienced this in your own family and among your own people, but as it begins to happen and the iniquity begins to increase at some point in time, Abraham, and I already know when that is. I know everything, and so I can see ahead, and it's going to be after 400 years that your people are in the land of Egypt, and then the iniquity of the Amorites is going to be full. It's going to have increased so much that I am going to judge them. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. And this is as the children of Israel are about to fulfill that prophecy. They're about to go into Canaan's land. They're about to go and take the land that God had promised unto them. And the Lord speaks and says, speaketh thou not in thine heart that after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me into to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out before thee. Not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess the land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord God doth drive them out before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. About to go into the land. You're about to possess Canaan's land. You're about to come to the place that I told Abraham a long time before that this was going to happen, that his people are going to come hither again. It's about to happen, but you need to understand why it's going to happen. Don't think it's something you've done or you're great or it's a righteousness in you or the uprightness of your heart. Let me tell you why I'm going to drive them out before you. Let me tell you why you're going to stand and you're going to march around a city called Jericho with walls that stretch up into the heavens. And let me tell you why it's going to crumble, because the iniquity of the Amorites has reached the level where it is complete. And now I will drive them out. Now I will judge them. Now I am going to be God, and I am going to show myself and what I feel about iniquity. And listen, I understand the parallels. I understand we look at these times and we understand what the times and the seasons, but all these things are happening because iniquity is increasing. Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees that came to him, he said, listen, you can look into the sky, and in the evening you can say the sky is red, it's going to be fair weather tomorrow, and then you wake up in the morning and you look at the sky and you say, well, it's red and lowering, so it's going to be foul weather today. He said, oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the skies, but you don't understand the times in which you live in. Might I stand in this pulpit on this Sunday morning and say, we need to be attentive to the world that's going on around about us and understand that iniquity is increasing. Listen, I don't know where we are on God's measuring cup, but as I survey society, I can't help but think the cup is filling up rather fast. Oh, you keep saying we're living in the last days. Is that what you're saying, preacher? I don't know. I'm not God. I don't know the day or the hour, but I can look at the story of Noah and know what happens when God says enough is enough. I can look examples in the Bible when God says, okay, iniquity is full. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 36 through 38, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Peter tells us it was the long suffering of God that waited for the ark to be built. And when Noah walked into the ark and it was completed, God said, okay, now's the time. The iniquity is full. And Peter said there were only 8 souls that were saved. Come on, preacher, you're just trying to scare us. You're trying to dangle our feet over the fire of hell. No, I'm just saying there is a direct correlation between iniquity abounding and the love of many waxing cold. And if I'm not falling more in love with Jesus, I am headed in the wrong direction. I want it to get sweeter and sweeter as the day goes by. Oh, what a love between the Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I'm smart enough to know that at some point in time, God's going to look down and say, okay, it's enough. Gabriel, get ready. Put the trumpet to your lips, Bubba. It's about time for me to go and get my remnant. The Bible tells us a remnant shall be saved. Let me tell you who that remnant is. It's the remnant that is enduring in love, that are still, even while iniquity is abounding, they're still falling in love with Jesus and saying, oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly. So disturbing am I by recent events, and I know I've talked about them a lot, and I preached on them. Let me say this. One cannot scripturally reconcile iniquity and love as growing together. Cannot make decisions in direct opposition to the Word of God and call it love. It's iniquity. It's wickedness. It's lawlessness. And I don't care what society legalizes. I don't care what society labels it. I don't care if they get up with the rainbow flags and say love wins. It is iniquity. Oh, preacher, you better be careful preaching like that. There may be somebody listening. Somebody may pull the sermon off the internet and they may come visit you. Listen, I've got to preach what thus saith the word of God. And I understand there is a correlation between iniquity abounding and love waning. So you cannot participate in iniquity and call it love. You cannot participate in wickedness and evil and call it love. Because as iniquity increases, love decreases. And I thank God for people with the boldness who will be harbingers in our day and age. I thank God for people who will stand at podiums and pulpits and say, we're headed in the wrong direction. You trying to do, preacher? I'm just trying to make you aware there is a direct correlation between iniquity and love. And Jesus said, as these things happen and go on around about you, understand, as iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. That's why it's so important that I do read the Word of God. That I understand what the Word of God says. Love is not a feeling. Love is a discipline. And love is determined by what thus saith the Word of God. Oh, I preach, that's not right. Really? Look at John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Look at John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and will make our abode with him. John 15:10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What are you trying to say? Love is not a feeling. Love is not an emotion. Love is a discipline that is determined by the word of God. And I reveal my love to God as I follow his word. So I cannot do things in opposition to the word of God and label them as love. Oh, I might can label them, but they ain't love. I can call it, try to put a name on it that's more palatable and try to make it sound like it's something that is beneficial to society. But let me tell you what it is. It is iniquity abounding. This nauseates me. We can get major news media coverage over a lion that's killed in Africa while we abort thousands of babies every day. People would have more love. I love animals, don't get me wrong. People would have more love for an animal that has no soul than they do innocent babies. What are you saying? I'm saying iniquity is bounding, so the love of many is waxing cold, where they love and have more affinity and more feeling for a big furry animal than they do for an unborn child. Whew. Man, he's preaching it straight. You better believe I'm preaching it straight, because I understand the times. I understand iniquity is abounding, and as iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. We don't love what we used to love and what should be loved. We love things that are not right. We love and we have affinity for things that are not biblical and not of the word of God. And I'm sorry that if this ruffles your feathers a little bit, but the Bible tells me that many shall be offended. And I'm not here to offend you, but if the word of God offends you, then it's your heart that needs to be corrected. The word of God doesn't need to be corrected. It's right. It's forever settled in heaven. And if I preach the word of God and it offends somebody, I hope you'll find a place of repentance, because it's not about me. It's about the word of God. What I must do and what I feel I must do when I come to a pulpit and begin to preach. I've got to say, listen, we need to understand the times and iniquity is abounding. So I'm doing everything within my power to get people to understand you've got to fall more in love with Jesus. You've got to do and keep the commandments and follow the word of God. Because if I'm not able to follow the word of God, I'm going to fall prey to the iniquity that abounds in the world. See, the prevalence of one correlates with the absence of the other. If iniquity abounds, then love wanes. Remember, God reveals His will, His way, by opposites. Many times we understand God and the way He works. If iniquity abounds and love wanes, well, then the inverse is also true. The opposite of that is also true. Then, if love abounds, then iniquity wanes. If love increases, then iniquity decreases. You know how we could solve a lot of problems in the church? Get people loving God more. Get people loving the Word of God more. Get people loving praying more. A lot of those things, a lot of the problems are going to take care of themselves, because when love abounds, iniquity wanes. When love increases, then iniquity and wickedness and wrong decreases. Well, here it is. Maybe some of you knew I was going here. It's amazing how the Bible works and reveals so much. We believe, we understand, we teach, we preach about the Holy Ghost, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We talk about how that we believe and the Bible bears it out, and we read Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10. Examples, Jews, the Samaritans, the Gentiles. There was evidence, there was something that happened when they received the power of the Holy Ghost in their life. There was something that takes place. There's a part of the body that is taken over and controlled by the Spirit. And it is no wonder why it is the tongue. James chapter 3. And the tongue is a fire, verse 6. A world of iniquity. Ooh. James says it, the world. Tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full, deadly poison. James, are you saying that the tongue is above all the other members? Yes. Are you saying that the tongue is full of iniquity, that it's full of deadly poison? Yes. That's what he's saying. So it is no wonder, if I understand according to the Word of God, that there is a direct correlation between iniquity and love. And if iniquity abounds, then love wanes. But if love abounds, then iniquity wanes. Some of y'all know where I'm going. The Bible tells us that God is love. So then, would it not make sense that being filled with His Spirit, which is love, that there would be a sign? That there would be something that takes place, that there would be something that happens in the course of this receiving the Spirit of God, for God is love? And then this world of iniquity this that is full of deadly poison, if there is a direct correlation between love and iniquity, if I receive the Spirit of God, which is love, would it not then correlate to that member of my body, which is full of iniquity and deadly poison, would then succumb to the Spirit of love? And that's why the Bible says on the day of Pentecost that it was the Spirit that gave the utterance. What Spirit? The Spirit of Almighty God. The Spirit that is a Spirit of love. And now the correlation is made manifest. For as they received the Spirit of Almighty God, a Spirit of love, that member that is full of iniquity now becomes a manifestation of the power and love of God. The Apostle Paul made it clear. Oh, I speak with the tongues of men and angels. He said, listen, I speak in tongues more than you all. He wasn't being braggadocious. He wasn't being boastful. He was saying, listen, I understand this correlation between iniquity and love. And there's sometimes when I'm praying within the Spirit that the Spirit makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. Why? Because my tongue, the tongue of my flesh, is a world of iniquity. It's full of deadly poison. Oh, but when I get in the Spirit and I begin to intercede and pray in the Spirit, that same world of iniquity, that same tongue which would be full of deadly poison, now speaks stuff in the Spirit. It speaketh mysteries. I believe that when we speak in tongues, we are giving directions unto angels. I believe things are happening in the spirit realm when somebody speaks in tongues, because that world of iniquity, which was a tool of the devil and full of evil and deadly poison, now becomes a tool of Almighty God and the spirit realm, and we operate. Why? Because there is a direct correlation between love and iniquity. So I teach, I preach, I tell, I encourage, I tell, and I try to get people go after, seek it, understand its relevance, understand there is a direct correlation in the Word of God. And I don't know about you, but if there's anything I want to increase in my life, it is a love for Jesus Christ. It is a love for the principles and precepts of the Word of God. It is a love for what thus saith the Word of God. It's a love for His commandments. It's a love for Him, because if my love for Him increases, then iniquity decreases. I will find myself following the will of God. I will find my steps ordered in His Word as I love Him and His Word. Closing, you can stand to your feet. They asked Jesus, tell us when these things will be. Provide for us some correlation, Jesus, between the end of the world and coming. Give us a sign. Jesus says, gives a list, but then He says, and because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold. I've been there. I felt my love for the things of God, His Word, was waning. Struggle to do right, live right, begin to increase. been there where going to church seemed more like an obligation and less like a privilege. And as a result of not loving, started wanting to do other things, be a part of other things. Just being real this morning. Take it from me. Others in this place, no doubt, could give you the same story. It's so much easier living for God. I find myself falling more and more in love with Him. It's easier to live right. I'm not trying to find fault. I'm not trying to find loopholes. I'm not trying to find excuses. I'm trying to find more of God. It's amazing how much simpler staying saved is. After Peter on the day of Pentecost answered the question, what must we do? Repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as the many of the Lord our God shall call. The Bible says in the next verse, and with many other words did he testify and exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That generation was untoward. That generation was perverse and wicked. I don't think the iniquity has decreased since then. Jeremy? I don't think iniquity has waned since then.
It has not.
It's increased.
Yes, it has.
So how do I make sure I'm living right, doing right? I'll tell you the easiest way to accomplish that task. Fall in love with Jesus.
Yes, yes, amen.
Hunger for His Word. Hunger for His principles and His precepts. Fall in love with Jesus, because the more in love with Jesus you are, the less this world has an effect upon you.
Yes, that's true. Amen.
Because there's a direct correlation between iniquity and love. And I want to be the one who is doing more and more to love and to be loved and find love and seek love and search love and exemplify love and show love and manifest love. Why? Because then iniquity will wane. Because as love abounds, then iniquity decreases. And so I want to fall more and more in love with Jesus. I want to fall more and more in love with His people. I want to fall more and more in love with His Word. I want to fall more and more in love with His kingdom. Why? Because I don't want anything to do with this world. And while iniquity is abounding over here, I want my love to be abounding over here, so that iniquity in my life wanes. There's a direct correlation between iniquity and love. Maybe you're here this morning. You come with questions. I don't know if I can do this. Started out before. Seen others fall by the wayside. Seen others who held a higher standard now lowered in their lives. How do I avoid that, Pastor? How do I stay on the straight and narrow? I know salvation is not anything I could ever earn. I don't do it to be saved. I do it because I am saved. I fall more and more in love with Jesus. I want more of Jesus in my home. want more of Jesus in my life, because the more I have, the more I love Him, the more I keep His commandments, the less I fall prey to the tactics of the enemy. How do I do it? How do I live for Him? I tell you how you live for Him. You love Him. How do I do it? How do I walk this walk? I tell you how to do it. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength.
There's no place I'd rather be.
Lord has for me. I want to seek, covet earnestly the best gifts.
Best thing I've ever,
I want to love Him
done.
More today than I did yesterday, and more tomorrow than I did today.
I feel,
for there is a direct correlation between iniquity and love, and if I can love more,
it is all.
I'll mess up less.
Never disconnected.
I love Him, His will, His way.
In His arms,
I won't find myself detoured into my own direction.
There's no place I'd rather be.
Anybody here this morning who would, in a statement of their intent, present themselves at the altar this morning and say, Lord, help me fall more in love with You. Help me fall more in love with Your Word. I don't want iniquity abounding in my life. I don't want iniquity increasing. I don't want to find myself falling away from You. Lord, help me to love You more and more. Lord, I'm here to lift my hands. I'm here to lift my voice and surrender.
In His arms, I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be.
Here I am, Jesus. Here I am, Jesus. I know I don't always do it right. I know at times I find myself following after my flesh. I know I'm not perfect. But I'm determined. Help me, God. I'm going to set aside things that really don't matter. Find myself following after what really does. To love You, Your will, Your way. Said of Jesus, the writer of Hebrews, if my memory serves me correct, speaking in reference to Him, said, for He loved righteousness, He hated iniquity. Lord. If I'm truly going to be a Christian, if I'm truly going to follow you, your will and your way. That same type of mentality has to sweep over my soul. I fall so in love with you in righteousness and out of love with iniquity. That I would love righteousness and hate iniquity, for that is true conversion. Every day of my life, Lord, let me enjoy the journey, falling more and lower in love with you, seeking your will and your way, separating myself from this world and the iniquity that abounds therein. So when that time comes, the cup is full. God, you split the eastern sky. You set your feet once again upon Mount Olive. And you call your people home. Let me be in the number that have endured. Let me be in the number who have endured. As iniquity abounds, let me be in the number where love is still strong. That I would make heaven my home, and so shall I ever be with the Lord. Why? Because I understand there's a correlation between love and iniquity. And I love him. My life shows I love him. My choices reveal I love him. My disciplines, my decisions. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for being here in the house of the Lord this morning. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.